there's always some little tensions there and things that when something isn't just fleshed out right and black and white to me and just defining everything, sometimes it's like, oh my goodness, I just want to represent God's word well. And it's interesting, I called Bob Anderson here this week and spent some time visiting with him. As you know, we've been blessed with having him come in years past, and I appreciate his exegete of Revelation, his drawing out the truth of what Scripture speaks of. He's no fluff. He doesn't add his own thoughts and his own ideas. He just takes God's word, what it says, and then lays it out and says, this is what we do know, and so that's what we believe. But the reality is there's a lot of things, quite frankly, that I don't fully understand. Bob, as I was visiting with him, he says, there's things I don't understand. There's things that we don't clearly see yet. But there's going to come a day when we're going to be with our Savior and everything is going to be clearly seen. Everything. And so when we look at the things to come, one thing that we know, and there's all of the truths and the evidence in which Scripture has given to us that proclaims the rapture, the tribulation, the millennium, and the things to come, it's coming. It's going to happen. We can count on it. There's a lot of details within that, though, that we maybe don't fully have our minds wrapped around and understand clearly, and that's okay. And I've had to come to a point myself to be okay with that. I only can go off of what God's word has given to us, and that's what He wanted us to know, and evidently it's enough, right? And so now He wants for us to be studying these things out and being asking the Lord to just give us real peace and comfort in the midst of understanding what we do know and what He's given to us, and then looking forward to the future as followers of Christ. We have hope. We have a blessed promise, and it is one of victory, and it's eternal. But we also have great concern, or we should have great concern, because what is eternal for us, there is, and it's joy and hope, there is eternity for the lost also, and it is eternal, and it is suffering and pain for all eternity. And we all have a choice. We all have a choice in that journey. And I'm thankful that we serve a God who has given us a choice. Yet His word tells us there's that tension there. He calls us. He's ultimately that one that brings us to Himself. And yet Scripture clearly teaches us that we believe, we choose to believe upon Him. And so there's tension in Scripture, but we can have great confidence in it. Well, in this passage that we're looking at here this morning, and we'll see, probably won't get through it, but that's okay. In Revelation 20, in verse 4, we see a change. We went from Satan being bound. Okay, we had looked at the last time. We shared from Revelation. We had looked at the end of 19 and the first three verses of chapter 20. We see Satan bound for 1,000 years, and then we get to the end of that. But after these things, he must, speaking of Satan, must be released for a little while. And then we go on into verse 4, and it says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and the judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast and his image and not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. That's pretty exciting, and that's pretty interesting to see what is going to take place here. Remember the time frame. Now we've gone through the tribulation. We haven't gone through the tribulation. We are going to return with Christ at the end of the tribulation as church age saints that have, we've been raptured at the beginning of the tribulation. We don't know how soon before the trib, but we've been raptured, caught up to be with the Lord, as he tells us in Thessalonians, and then, and also in John, we're with him, and then we're going to return with Christ. And we talked about the battle of Armageddon, and he's going to fight this battle, and he will systematically, by his own doing, Christ will win that battle by the word of his mouth. And the sword that comes from his mouth, the word of God, he's going to, just as he created all things by his word, he is going to come and he's going to win this battle by his word and defeat the enemy. And then we see the beginning of the millennial reign of Christ. So who all is going to be a part of this time period, the millennial reign of Christ? The saints reign with Christ for 1,000 years. I wish that we had our PowerPoint. This projector is dead, and so I hope to follow or to say do this clearly so you can follow along and fill in if you choose to with this outline. The saints reign with Christ for 1,000 years. We can look in Matthew 24. It talks about the sheep and the goats, and we think it's pretty clear there that who goes into the millennial reign are believers. Okay, it's not unsaved people. It's believers that go into the millennial reign of Christ, and which certainly makes sense. And so we see we, the church age saints, who were resurrected at the rapture before the tribulation, will reign with Christ. So we are going to reign with Christ, right, for 1,000 years to all who know Christ as Savior. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17 says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, "In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and will be changed." That's speaking of the rapture. The rapture of the church is going to take place, and we're going to be called up, the dead in Christ first, resurrected bodies, and those who are still alive. And oh, it's just always so good to visit with Bob. And of course, as you remember, when he was here and has shared with us, he is proclaims and believes as we should believe, but he's just spews from him of, we are living in the last days, and we better be ready. We better be looking up. Fix our eyes on our Savior and Lord. The day is drawing nigh, and we better be ready. Well, exciting to know that we are going to be a part of the millennial reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Who else is a part of that? And we see clearly here in this passage, it tells us the martyred, those martyred for their faith, as we see in 4 through 6, okay? Those who were martyred during the tribulation, okay? So those who were going through the tribulation, many will come to know Christ, as we have studied, right? Many will come to know Christ as Savior. And during that time, yes, many will be saved, and there is going to be at the end of at the end of the tribulation, there is going to be this resurrection that takes place of the tribulation saints, those who had died and were raised from the dead. Okay. Revelation 24 through 6 tells us that. Well, there are several things that were mentioned about their testimony, or what was it about them that made them qualified to go into the millennial reign of Christ. They testified of their faith and relationship with Christ, it tells us in verse 4. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus. They were not ashamed of the testimony of sharing Christ and proclaiming that Jesus Christ is their Savior and their Lord. These martyrs, those who are going to be resurrected and brought into the millennial kingdom, are those who had a clear testimony of their relationship with Jesus because of the Word of God, their clear proclamation and understanding of the Word of God, as it also says here, souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the Word of God. Testimony of their relationship with Christ and their testimony of their belief and their understanding of God's Word. They stand upon Him and His Word, His truth. And those individuals are going to be going on into the millennial kingdom. They're going to be resurrected. And those who had died, the martyrs, their bodies are going to be resurrected. Just as ours were resurrected before the tribulation, theirs will be resurrected at the end of the tribulation, going into the millennial reign of Christ. They testified of their belief in and their love for the Word of God. Okay? They did not worship the Antichrist or his image. So they went through the tribulation. As you recall, we've studied and learned that of what the Antichrist is going to be doing and seeking to deceive and to lead astray, and the economic control that they're going to have, that those that submit to it. If you want to buy and sell, you have to have the mark of the beast. You have to have his mark to be able to buy, sell, and to, so being controlled and manipulated by the Antichrist ultimately Satan. Okay? But there are going to be those through the tribulation who will say, no, I will not worship. I will not bow my knee to this false Christ. They will not bow their knee to this false system or his image. Okay, it also tells us here in 4 through 6 that they had not received the mark of the beast. Okay, and boy, there's a lot of discussion even today, isn't there, of things that are already taking place, and we know that it's not the mark of the beast yet, because it's going to be something that is going to be collaborated and worked together as a whole world to make this one sign, this one symbol, the mark of the beast. And Scripture says, the number 666, whatever that is, ultimately, a mark that is placed, Scripture says, on the forehead or on the hand, that is going to be a mechanism, a way of controlling what an individual can do. But these individuals that are going to go into the millennial reign of Christ are those who were martyred, having a relationship with Christ, having a love for God and His Word, choosing not to bow their knee to the Antichrist, not to worship Him or His image, and not taking the mark of the beast. And it tells us that they will be resurrected at the end of the tribulation. The tribulation saints, that survived go on into the millennial reign of Christ, still in their mortal bodies. And this is something that, dear brothers and saints, commentators whom I respect mightily, it's a clear message that they and Bob, you know, as I visited with Bob again yesterday, and it's one of those things that I have questions and so on in my own personal life with it, and yet it's like, Lord, will you just please help me to stick to the main things and to trust you with what your word says and what seems to be very clear to individuals whom I greatly admire and trust in what they how they view these things. But there are going to be those, so the saints that were in the time of the tribulation that have not died, are still alive, are going to be taken on into the millennial reign of Christ. And the understanding from what we read from Scripture, what we are given is that it's those individuals who survived the tribulation and are then going on into the millennial reign of Christ. They're not in their resurrected body. They're still in their mortal body. Okay? It has not been resurrected. We see a clear difference with Christ when he rose from the grave, right? His body was was no longer experienced death, suffering of any sort. And that same body that he was resurrected with, which was immortal, that was without sin, he was without sin. He had no sin, but he became sin for us. He died. His physical body died. But it was resurrected, and it was made immortal. That it was one that we too, when we are resurrected, our body is going to be transformed. It's going to be something that is going to last forever. It's not going to decay, die, and experience sickness and death ever again. But these individuals that are alive during the tribulation and go on into the millennium, they still have a mortal body, okay? And this is where, you know, just discussion and thoughts, and you think through, and yet, well, we just rest with what we know. It appears that there are going to be many through those individuals, because Scripture tells us that in heaven, right, for us that die and go on into eternity, there is no marriage, right? There's no marriage, so we're not going to get married again. If we die before and we are resurrected and we go on into the millennium, we're not going to be married. We're not going to have children. But it appears that the saints that go into the millennial reign of Christ still with their mortal bodies, yet believing upon God, they're believers, they're followers of Christ, yet mortal body, they are going to. There will be many children over the course of the 1,000 years, many children born, okay? And so it's very interesting, things to ponder and to consider. One thing that I know is that we win, and that we're going to be in the presence of the Lord, and that is one thing I am assured of, and I rest in that completely. Well, the tribulation saints, they survived, go on into the millennial reign of Christ, still in their mortal bodies. Who else is a part of the millennial reign of Christ? The Old Testament saints. The Old Testament saints are going to be resurrected at this time. At the end of the tribulation, at the beginning of the millennium, the Old Testament saints who have been longing and waiting for this day that they will have a resurrected body, yet we also taught and believe and understand that to be absent from the body, when we do die, we are present with the Lord spiritually. We're with him. absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, but there is a time when we will have a resurrected body. And that is true for the Old Testament saints. They are going to be resurrected and given life and given a immortal body, one that will never see decay again. The Old Testament saints. And Daniel, we see that in Daniel 12:1-2. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of the nations until then. What is it talking about? The tribulation, okay? But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, and others to shame and everlasting contempt. This is all a part of what Scripture says ultimately is the first resurrection. Okay, so all of these components. So we have the church age saints. That's us, right? We're in the church age. We're going to be in the millennium. The martyrs that died during the tribulation, they're going to go into the millennial reign of Christ. Those who were alive, believed in Christ, yet lived and went on, they're going to be in the millennial reign of Christ. And they're going to have a special in the sense that they will be still giving birth and giving, having children. And then there are the Old Testament saints that will be resurrected prior to the millennial reign of Christ. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? It's going to be amazing. Have resurrected bodies that will never see decay again. Well, 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 28 talks about, when we think about the first resurrection, who it all involves. The first resurrection isn't just a one-time event, okay? It started with Jesus. His resurrection, right, when he rose, and he was the first fruits, as Scripture says. He was the first fruits, and that's what we're going to read here, the first fruits of this resurrection. And then we have these other resurrections, which aren't the first, second, third, fourth, fifth. No, these are all a part of the first resurrection of being raised from the dead and given a immortal body, which will never see death, decay, suffering, pain again. Okay? It says in 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 28, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through one man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Okay? Those who belong to him. Does everyone belong to him? No. Those who belong to him are going to be, okay, caught up, will be resurrected. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. We see here that Jesus is the first fruits of the first resurrection, and then it's added. We have the other individuals, time frame, church age, martyrs of the tribulation, those who survived the tribulation and go on into the millennium. They believed upon the Lord, upon Jesus. They go on into the millennium. The Old Testament saints, okay? Very exciting time and period that we can look forward to. Okay, Luke 24, 5 through 7 says, "In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, 'Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, but crucified and on the third day be raised again.'" My friends, we're looking forward to, not too many weeks from now, we're going to be looking forward to celebrating Easter. And if it wasn't for Easter, if it wasn't for Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, him rising from the dead, conquering death, we would have no hope of victory, as we see here in Revelation chapter 20 and following. We would not have this hope. But Christ, because he rose from the grave, conquering death, he was perfect without sin, setting an example to us and ultimately making a way for us to experience new life through him, through his death, burial, and resurrection, and that hope of that resurrected body. What is it going to be like? It's going to be amazing to have a resurrected body which will never experience pain, suffering, trials of any sort again. That is something I'm looking forward to. It's going to be amazing. Well, we're going to stop with that for this morning, and we will pick up next week in 7 through 10. But one of the things that I know I personally have had to wrestle with, and when I read through these things, it's like, oh, but man, that's just kind of crazy. It seems interesting, strange, or how could it be? And yet, we see what God's Word says, and that's where we stand, okay? We stand upon what God's Word does give to us when we believe it by faith, and I must do that. Believe it by faith, trusting that this is what he says, this is what's going to happen, and I can't wait to experience it. I can't wait to see it in the fullness, in the reality of being in the presence of the Lord when it all takes place. It's going to be absolutely amazing. It's going to be incredible. That is our hope, that is our promise. We're going to be looking next week at what is to come after that. And my friends, I tell you, if there's anything that I pray that we take from this study through the book of Revelation, is that the time is drawing short. People are destined for one of two places. They're either heading to heaven, eternal life, to all who have trusted in him, or they are heading to an eternal damnation separated from God, which is going to be in the lake of fire. That's God's word. That's not, it doesn't sugarcoat it. And God doesn't send people to hell. People choose, and that's something we're going to see in the last part of this passage next week, is what is some significant things that we take out of the millennial reign of Christ. God doesn't send anyone to hell. People choose it. And they have rejected what God has offered, which was his redemption, his suffering, his pain for our sin, and they have chose to go on their own and to do it their own way. And it's eternal, and it is suffering and pain like none other. That's the choice of humanity. We have a choice. And the question is, are we playing a part in the lives of those around us to point them to Jesus? How are we doing in that? How am I doing in that? Are we pointing people to Jesus? Because if we're not, my friends, we're satisfied with them going to hell. That's kind of a humbling thought, personally, when I think about that. If I'm not pointing people to Jesus, then I must be satisfied with them going to hell. Oh, Lord, would you convict me of that? Keep me from going down that mindset. I don't want people to go there. I can't save anybody, but I can sure point them. I can lead them. I can guide them. We can share with them, and we better be faithful in doing that. Amen? Amen. Would you stand with me as we close in prayer?